Have you ever woken up and discovered that you couldn't move, but you were aware and conscious? If so, have you ever seen something unexplainable in your bedroom, inching closer and closer until it was right on top of you? Today, we test the believability of the old hag syndrome.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
That is right. It's another Tuesday. I hope everybody is doing well, whether you're listening in your car or in your house or walking your dog or chores. I don't know. I wonder what the number one thing people do while listening to us is.
I don't know. I play video games.
Yeah?
Well, I used to, but now I sleep to it.
See, that's what I feel like, that would be the number one thing. Yeah, there are some people every now and then that are like, you are like the perfect podcast to fall asleep to.
Thank you.
Maybe that makes the sparks the downloads. It's like 8 hours of just like it's cycling through and through. Yes, that's funny. So how's your week been?
Yeah, it's good. It's good, man. I mean, I'm just teaching.
Have you ever bought a suit?
What?
Bought a suit. Bought it.
All the pieces?
Yeah. The fixins.
No, I've never bought a full suit.
Me and my best friend, shout out Tyler, yesterday for a wedding that we're going to be in Chicago, we bought matching navy blue suits. So much more expensive than...
Than renting?
Well, obviously, yes. But I figured it would be an investment, but I thought it'd be less of an investment. So yeah. Hopefully I never grow taller or gain weight.
Yeah, that stuff's expensive. I knew that's expensive.
Although if I do get a lot taller, I'll find a way to deal. So we are talking about the old hag syndrome. Are you familiar?
Vaguely.
Okay, this is going to be a good blend of both like paranormal experience and science. Like sleep science.
Science. That's literally the most boring science. Okay. Sleep science.
Listen, you talk about history.
I like history, though.
So, well, I like science.
Okay, fine. Whatever.
Also, I just want to shout this out. Brianna, who we just did her story.
Oklahoma.
Yes, Oklahoma. She actually hit us up and was like, interesting black-eyed kids theory. What if they're half-human, half-alien hybrids? So they don't have the instincts of a human, but obviously they carry certain qualities of human nature, humankind. I don't want to dive into that too much. This isn't what this episode's about. But she said that. I was like, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I thought that too. I was like, you know, that doesn't sound... I feel like it kind of fits.
Kind of fits. So, like, viable?
I could buy it. Yeah.
Quick episode. There you go. Black-Eyed Kids Part 2. But okay, so we got spooks. We'll front-load the spooks of the old hag syndrome. Then we'll come in with science, with the undercut. It's like a 1-2. And then in the discussion, we'll talk about whatever we want.
Okay, cool.
All right, let's dive in. So, I'm going to talk about the old hag, which feels kind of offensive, right?
It does, yeah.
I actually don't like saying that.
The old
I feel
hag.
Like it's like, it feels like a, yeah, it feels like it's a major insult to an older woman. Like, you old hag.
We've been studying the Crucible in class and like,
more weight.
Yeah, I love that part. But I feel like that's something they would call one of the characters, like the old hag.
You old hag.
Because it's my name.
Okay, so, yeah, so we're going to talk about what it is. And you know, come on, you know I have some encounters. They're really short, though, because, I mean, there's only so much that can happen.
Yeah, I was asleep, and then I woke up, and then she was gone.
Yeah, story of my life. All right, but let's start in the moment here. I'm going to set the stage. Scene, cut to, interior bedroom. So it's the wee hours of the morning, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., maybe 3, and you wake suddenly, overcome by a strange feeling of dread. You try to move and check the time, but you realize it's impossible. It's like your body is completely frozen. Then you think you're dreaming, but despite being unable to move a single muscle, you discover that you're completely conscious. You're aware. Your senses are working. You can feel, smell, and see. And then it catches your eye. Off in the corner of your room, you see what looks like a shadow of an old woman. You start blinking rapidly, hoping that it's just a nightmare. But she's still there. And now she's creeping closer and closer. And you can see that it's an old, terrifying woman. She climbs onto the bed as you try with all of your might to move, but you can't. And she sits on your chest and puts her face just inches from yours, giving you an evil grin. The weight of her is suffocating, and you feel like you're slowly dying. Just as it all begins to feel like it's too much, you snap out of it and wake up. No one's in your room, and you can finally move again. End scene.
That is a terrifying scene.
Yeah, so that's generally, in summary, the old hag syndrome. You know, like, where you take all those words and you make, like, art out of it?
Yes. Yeah.
Like, that's what I did. I took all the experiences that exist in the world, and I painted that. That's the overview.
That's, like, the broad.
Or, like, when you, isn't there, like, something where it's, like, you feed a bunch of information to a machine, and it writes out a screenplay of, like, what it learns and what it thinks it is? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I know what you're talking
about. It's like that. It's like we fed Google, the Googlebot, all these stories about
an old hag.
Yeah, and this is what came out. Although, so I'm the Googlebot.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Well, generally those are like terrible, but like on purpose.
Yeah, and this was terrible, not on purpose. So obviously this is tied to a real sleep disorder called sleep paralysis that we're going to get to later. But what do we do on this podcast? Yes, quantity over quality, and we will get to that. But we front load them spooks. So there's a ton of variations on what exactly this entity is, and that's typically based on where you're from, because different countries, different cultures have different ideas. It ranges from demons to incubus, more, a lot of paranormal figures that haunt your paralyzed sleeping body.
Yeah, but all the big names, right?
The big names, yeah. You know, the ones that walk the red carpet.
Yeah, you got John F. Kennedy, the hag, I don't know, the hat man's coming down. The hat man's,
I never take my hat off, not on the red carpet.
Tom Hanks.
Yeah, sucking blood. But for the sake of this episode and this podcast right now, because we try and keep things a little specific, we're going to focus on the old hag specifically. You know, the old woman, witch-like, sits on you. Sometimes she strangles you. She can either be blanketed in shadow, or she can have a clear, grotesque face with greenish skin, a long nose, and long gray hair. Also, black eyes, because of course, why not?
I thought you were going to say greenish eyes. I was like, oh, it sounds pretty.
No. Although later in a story, she has like multicolor eyes, which is kind of cool.
Okay. All right. That's neat.
And as the experience described, when the scenario happens, victims find that they can't move, but they can do pretty much everything else. You can still see, you can still hear, you can still feel, you can still smell. I don't really have any of it in the encounters I found. But a few of them that I did see that I didn't choose for the podcast, there's like a smell that's attached to it.
What's the smell?
Bad. Just like rotten eggs, which I know is kind of demonic in nature.
What is that? Insidious?
Yeah. Is it Insidious?
Maybe it's not.
One of those movies. But the old hag is always accompanied with a feeling of evil and a massive amount of fear. Sometimes she'll just stay in the distance. You'll just wake up and you'll see her and she won't move, but she'll be there and you'll be freaking yourself out. Sometimes she's in the corner, and sometimes you won't see anybody at all, but you'll still be really freaked out, and you'll hear noises and footsteps. But overall, it's a pretty scary situation, and I imagine, like, it's already creepy, but I think it's just kind of the vulnerability, you know what I mean? Like, the fact that you can't move, like, you're stuck. You just have to take whatever happens. It's like Outlast, you know what I mean? Those games where you can't fight back. That's why they're so scary.
I hate those games.
Me too. It's vulnerable. Like, you literally just have to deal with it. It's like run. Well, you can't even run or hide. You're just laying there.
Shout out to Alex who played Outlast.
Yeah. 3. So you might as well just accept your fate. Also, happy birthday, Alex. I know it's not your birthday when you listen to this, but it's your birthday today. So happy birthday. Okay. So before we get into some of the encounters, let's pretend for 1 second that this is 100% true. Okay.
I can do that.
So you're bought in.
Yep,
all bought stock. Is it Dogecoin or Dogecoin?
I think it's Dogecoin.
That's what I think too. Okay. So let me give you two probabilities, assuming that this is real. Don't put your skeptical hat on yet. Okay. Assuming this is real, Which do you think is more probable? One, she waits for the opportune moment to strike, basically when your body's frozen. Like sleep paralysis is true. She waits for that moment to come, and then she does her creepy creeps. Or two, do you think the old hag has the ability to paralyze your body?
I have a question.
Yes.
Is it always at night?
Yes, it's tied to sleeping. And every story I've ever seen is at night in your bed. It's not like, I fell asleep on the airplane.
I don't know, that'd be a scary story.
It would be if nobody else noticed it, but then you probably would realize it's in your head.
Yeah.
But no, this is typically at night in your bedroom. You're not necessarily alone, but night bedroom.
So if it's at night, maybe the old hag, if this entity is real, maybe that's when it gets all its power, like in the wee hours, like 1, 2, 3, 4.
Well, I mean, witching hour.
Yeah.
I mean, the veil is the thinnest.
Exactly. So maybe that's when it gets its power. And then maybe that's when it has the strength to freeze you.
So you would lean more towards that they can do that to you rather than it's like taking advantage of an opportunity.
Yes.
Okay. I think if you were to buy into this, I don't see why that would be ridiculous to think. Yeah, I mean, if you're already saying that they have the ability to do such things, it's kind of like, well, then why not be the one that freezes? And it's just because we'll get to it with some of the science. Like, it's explainable, but the causes, there's no like, this is what causes it. Mm-hmm. But we'll get there. I'm also not sure what the end goal is. And I don't think we'll ever find out. And the only thing would be, I mean, like, people die in their sleep, so you never know. And I wish I could remember the name. This has been like a year ago, but I did watch a movie that was based on the old hag, and it was actually pretty creepy.
Oh, really?
It was like one of those ones where, kind of like Freddy Krueger a little bit, where it's like, you have to bring her to the real world to kill her. So it was like, all right, here's a timer at exactly so-and-so minutes. Wake me up, and I'll grab her. And then they'll stick shovels to her and kick her ass. And it was like one of those things, you know,
oh, it's so like, stupid. I'm like, what's the movie? I know you just said you didn't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's too bad. That sounds.
But what do you think the end goal is? Do you think it's just to scare? I mean, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about, the black eyed kids.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You don't know what the end goal is, but that almost makes it creepier, right?
Yeah. And still maybe that's us just putting our human spin on it where like humans have tasks and objectives and end goals. Maybe it's just, you know, to terrorize.
Maybe it's maybe they're getting some kind of energy out of it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's scared energy. Maybe it's life energy. Who knows?
Yeah. Maybe it's like what Alfred told Batman. It's like, some people just want to watch the world burn.
I feel like you shoehorned in here.
Anytime I can talk about the Dark Knight. Okay, so I got 4 encounters. That was leaning a little bit into the discussion, but we'll get to that. But that was more about the lore of, I'm imagining, when we get to the discussion, we'll be talking more about whether or not it's real. So I wanted to, for a moment, pretend it was real.
Okay.
And kind of dissect the lore a little bit. But anyway, I got 4 encounters. They're not long. So it's still quantity over quality. But we're ready. Are you good? Number 1, encounter 1. Quote, I was sleeping on my back, which I rarely do. I woke up in the middle of the night with my body completely frozen and terrified to find this demon-like creature with a gaunt, black face squatting on my chest. It was dead staring me in the eyes, about an inch away from my face. I started freaking out, and then my boyfriend woke me up, except he didn't actually wake me up. What I experienced was him waking me up because he could tell I was scared. But then when I really woke up in the morning and I thanked him for waking me, he looked at me weird and said, he never woke me up. I haven't experienced anything since, but sometimes I get freaked out at night, but I usually chalk it up to my paranoia. So like a demon thing. Unquote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still like it's one of those demon things.
One of them demon things. Encounter 2.
Okay.
Quote, I wanted to share this here because of how many others seem to have strange experiences. When I was 20 years old, I had my one and only experience with sleep paralysis. At the time, I had positioned my bed adjacent from the laundry room, which is a narrow room with no door spanning about 10 feet long. I hadn't grown out of my fear of the dark until a couple of years ago, and so I slept with the laundry room light on. One night, I woke from my sleep, opened my eyes, and looked directly into the laundry room. A woman, pale as a sheet, in a dress, with long curly hair, was standing there, staring at me. Although her face was lifeless and her stare was dead, I could hear, in my head, a woman's toneless and emotionless voice repeating over and over again, "I love you, I love you, I love you." I was immediately filled with the purest terror I have ever felt and quickly realized that I couldn't move at all. My girlfriend at the time was sleeping next to me, and despite all my efforts, I couldn't wake her. I couldn't even speak. The woman continued to stand there, and I continued to hear her words, and for some strange reason, I had a woman's name in my mind that I assumed was hers. As I had no other options, I closed my eyes until I fell back asleep. I've remembered this night vividly, and while I forgot her name after a day or two, her face and the way she spoke has never left me. Unquote.
That one's actually creepy.
There's a lot. It's interesting the variety, you know what I mean? Because I'll just say this now. I sifted, that's a word. I sifted through a bunch of stories that were like three sentences. Like, I woke up, the hag was there. It was scary. And it's like, okay.
Good narrative.
I can only say that so many times. So what I tried to do was encapsulate that story in the intro, where it's kind of like, this is the main one. So it's kind of like the stories that stuck out that I wanted to do.
Right. That makes sense. That one was way creepier than the first one.
Yes. What, yeah. Okay. I think it's creepier because it was written better. I think the idea of waking up to a gaunt, you know, black demon-like creature hovering an inch from your face, I think it was the way the story was written. Because that is, in itself is terrifying.
You might be right, because it was clunky.
Yeah,
so
it was clunky.
maybe I just gave it a bad grade in my head, so I was like, nah.
D minus. All right, number three, this is a very short one. Quote, "I was awakened by my screaming girlfriend. She had her arms up as if she was pushing on something. Her eyes were open as if she was awake. And I called her name a few times, and I tried to shake her. Then, out of nowhere, her eyes closed, and she went back to sleep. When I woke her up again, she told me that she had a dream that she was fighting an old lady that was trying to strangle her." Unquote.
Okay, so that's like an outsider's perspective.
Yeah, which is, you know, interesting, I guess.
Yeah.
What's interesting to me is how many of these people, I guess, you know, people have significant others, huh? Yeah. Most of these have, like, they're sleeping with their boyfriend, or their girlfriend, their husband.
Weird. I think they're all nerds.
Yeah.
It's funny how that started. It reminded me of a scream. My girlfriend was screaming. How that started, I was like, that feels like an old relationship of mine.
Really?
Yeah, no, like, well, it's because I stayed up, so, like, because we were fighting for a long time, and that was awkward.
I don't know where this is going. Are you just talking about a bad relationship with yelling?
Yeah. Yeah, that's how it connected for me in the moment.
So, encounter four.
Yes, let's go. Yeah.
Quote, "I've been trying for about a year to induce sleep paralysis as a gateway to lucid dreaming. I heard about this phenomenon, but never experienced it myself. Tonight was actually my first occurrence. I did, as I always do, lie still on my back, staring at the ceiling, and waiting for the numbness to begin. But it didn't. Instead, all the noise outside my window stopped, as though someone muted the outside world. I blinked, and there it was, on my ceiling. It just kind of floated downward, dragging its fingers down the wall as it did. The sound was sickening. It stopped when it was nose to nose with me, put its other hands, which it had three arms, on my chest, and it just stayed there, staring at me. Its eyes glowed, cycling from a fluorescent purple to a blood red. Then, someone in the room next to me dropped something, and it levitated back up to the ceiling. Its face was at last to melt away." Unquote.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That is literally the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Why would you induce that? I guess they didn't expect that would happen.
Yeah, I mean, the idea of lucid dreaming is pretty cool.
Okay, I guess. I never thought it was that interesting to me.
And for those that don't know, lucid dreaming is when you are completely aware that you're sleeping, which then gives you control of your dreams. It's like, it's being very self-aware in your dreams, so you know, like, there's no laws of physics anymore. You're like, I know I'm dreaming, I know I can't die, so now I'm gonna fly, now I'm gonna do this, now I'm gonna do that. It's like having control of your dream like a game. And so that's what he was trying to do through sleep paralysis.
Yeah. Which I guess there's more horror stories from sleep paralysis leading, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess it's like if I'm in sleep paralysis, then my mind is awake, but my body is sleeping. So when I'm dreaming. So apparently he was weighing lucid dreaming, controlling my dreams, flying, or the old hag.
Yeah.
And he lost.
He lost that Russian roulette.
Yeah, he didn't even get the old hag. He got this demon, which is interesting that the stories, it's more sleep paralysis based, I guess, more so than the hag. Because like a couple of them had the woman. Mm-hmm. Two of the four had the woman. Two of them had
something else.
Something else, like a creature type thing. But like I said, a lot of the stories I found were like two sentences.
Yeah, I was really able to like really see that one, and I don't like it.
Yeah, that one was written better. But okay, so, and we will get back to spooks, obviously, in the discussion, but now let's shift to see if we can justify what these people are experiencing. May I request the old sound bump here?
Yes.
Okay, so what is sleep paralysis? And all of the information that I'll be talking about for the next 5-10 minutes has been pulled from WebMD, NHS, Healthline, and the Sleep Foundation, which seems a little biased to me, I imagine.
Don't forget Wikipedia.
No, actually, I didn't even try. Really? It was reaching out to me. It's like, come on, look at me. Donate $3. If everybody, like, shut up.
We know your shtick, Wikipedia. Okay.
Get a Patreon, Wikipedia. So sleep paralysis is when a person wakes up and is conscious, but is unable to move. This is going to mirror a lot of the stuff we already talked about.
Oh, wait. Before we start really getting into it, has this ever happened to you?
I don't think so. It might have when I was really, really, really young, but I feel like me looking back at that memory is so unreliable that I don't think so. Because there was one moment, like when I was like 10 or something, that I thought I heard something, like somebody walking with a cane in my mm-hmm. in my house, and that freaked me out. But I remember like the next day I thought I was dreaming, and I've kind of thought I was dreaming ever since. But I just remember being really freaked out and almost feeling like I was awake.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, but not one that I could stand by. Like, I don't have a story. You know what I mean?
You couldn't, like, write a narrative about it.
Yeah, I guess I could do the one I just talked about and lie and make it more interesting.
Yeah.
But if I'm being, you know, honest, no. Do you? Have you had sleep paralysis?
No, this is something that's never touched. Well, I don't sleep on my back. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, that is because that is one of the things they suggest not doing. I am more of a side sleeper as well. So they say people typically only get it once or twice in their life, which makes it seem really rare. But at the same time, I also saw that up to like 40% of people experience it, which is like 3.5 billion. So,
wow.
So that temporary loss of muscle is known as atonia. And there's probably a lot of things that I'll say wrong this episode. So feel free to hit us up in our Gmail and let us know how offended you are.
We're no scientists. I'm no scientist in this.
Right. So, okay, atonia, loss of muscle, temporary, got it. Because normally, it's a good thing, right? So you're dreaming, you're in REM, rapid eye movement.
Losing your religion.
Yeah, Orange Crush, exactly. So you're dreaming about climbing, fighting, you know, whatever you have dreams about. I'm not judging. But you don't want your body to act it out, right?
Right, well, no.
Typically, no.
Yeah.
So your body sends neurotransmitters to your system. I don't know if it's your skeletal system, your musculoskeletal system, one of those things. And during this stage of the sleep, so that you don't hurt yourself, so you don't kill yourself. Makes sense, right? I actually had a dream last night that I was being chased by like this not like a cult, like a cult thing.
Okay.
And I was like in this amusement park. And I had so much more arm strength than I do now, where I was like climbing, like hang climbing, or this like roller coaster. But then the train started coming, and I was like, I won't be able to make it to the top. So I just let go. And it was like this fear for a moment that I was falling, but also knowing that I feel like I almost did know it was a dream. But that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. So when does sleep paralysis usually occur?
Are you asking me?
I don't know. I will tell you. Okay, cool. No, this is like subject header. So there's two times of the night that typically will occur. It'll either occur when you're falling asleep, or it will occur when you're waking up from sleep.
Okay.
It's like those two ends of the spectrum. So if it occurs when you're falling asleep, it's known as predormital sleep paralysis or hypnagogic. I don't know. You pick whichever one you like better. Basically, so you're falling asleep, right? Body's relaxing. You're chilling. You're not thinking about your work day, your school day. No assignments are due at nighttime. You become less aware. So you don't notice the change in your muscles. You don't notice that you're unable to move. You're drifting off to sleepy sleep land. But if you start becoming aware when you're falling asleep, you might notice that you can't move or speak. So that's one way. On the other hand, if it happens when you're waking up, it's called post-dormital sleep paralysis or hypnopompic. It's kind of a fun word. Say it.
Hypnopompic.
Hypnopompic. That sounds might like also a band. Might be wrong. Yeah, like pop punk. Hypnopop punk.
Yes.
It's like we put you to sleep in a trance with our catchy choruses. So with post-dormital sleep paralysis, it's during sleep, body's in REM, but all of a sudden you become alert. So while you're conscious mentally, your body physically is still in dream mode, so to speak. So you're alert, but you're unable to move. So I would say that three of the stories, the first three were post-dormital, where they woke up, where the last story, it was the person trying to lucid dream. So it was when he was falling asleep. So I think that would have classified as pre-dormital sleep paralysis. Either way, it's not pleasant. It's unsettling, and it can last from a few seconds up to like 10 to 15 minutes, which I imagine if you're in a dazed, groggy, sleepy state, seconds could probably feel like a really long time. In minutes, don't get me started.
That'd be years.
Yeah, exactly. Like I spent 15 years in sleep paralysis. Like, it's been 5 minutes, bro.
Man, does it matter which one happens in? Is it like, do the same effects happen?
I'm in science mode right now.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So what it's saying is that your body can be frozen while your mind is awake in either one of these situations.
Okay. But it doesn't change what happens.
In terms of?
In terms of how it can be affected by a hag? By a hag.
By the old hag?
Yeah. That's not scientific.
Yeah, so like, okay. This is, they're like separate things. Like, the hag don't care.
Okay.
You going to sleep, you waking up, she going to find you, she going to sit on you, she going to stare at you.
Okay.
My answer would be no, okay. But they're like two separate things, in my opinion.
Gotcha.
I mean, unless, where I remember I said maybe, what if she's waiting for the opportune time?
Yeah.
Maybe she's got like a little chart.
Maybe.
All right. Yeah. Jeff is going to be waking up soon, but his body won't be, so I got about 20 more minutes before I got to go to his room. Almost Monsters, Inc.
Yes, you know, exactly what it is. Yes.
So, okay, so imagine this. I didn't, this is in my notes, but I just thought of it because we were talking about time. So imagine, like, you're in sleep paralysis and you're groggy and it feels like 15 years, right?
Yeah.
So what were you doing 15 years ago?
What? I don't, how old am I? I was 15.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So sophomore in high school?
Playing Tony Hawk, probably.
I don't mean like at this moment. I mean like, you know, like you're 15. Yeah, sophomore, video games,
yeah,
life.
Yeah.
Imagine like these last 15 years have been sleep paralysis or a dream.
Gosh.
And you wake up tomorrow and you have to go to high school.
Some
of the listeners probably weren't alive 15
years
ago. No,
absolutely not. I don't know what I would...
How jarring would that be? Like imagine like an old job, an old house, maybe an old car, an old relationship. It's just crazy to think like if on the snap of a finger and you're back 15 years ago and you just have to like adjust back to that lifestyle. Maybe for some people that'd be awesome, but
I would play the stocks.
Well, you do know though, you
would know?
You would, you know what you, I would say what's 15 years ago? 2009?
No, 2007.
Really?
No, that's not right.
Was I right? Was it 2009? 2006. Okay, I would put all your money on Monster Energy drinks.
Yeah.
For real, I would do Amazon and Monster Energy drinks.
Amazon, for sure.
Anyway, okay, so I guess this kind of goes with the question you had. Scientifically speaking, old hag aside, purely science here, facts. These are the most common experiences associated with sleep paralysis. Like, this is factual. This isn't like Reddit. You might feel, one, completely awake and coherent, but unable to move, speak, and in some instances open your eyes, which would be incredibly terrifying. So that's understood. Also, you might feel like someone is in your room. You might feel like something is pushing you down. You might feel downright frightened, and you're more susceptible to auditory and visual hallucinations. That's a key one that I think we'll come back to. But isn't it interesting that the science is saying, yeah, if you experience sleep paralysis, you're going to be terrified. You actually might see something in your room.
Yeah.
You might feel something strangling you.
Almost feels like they're saying, But they're ultimately saying there's nothing there.
Right. Well, that's like the last one. They're like, yeah, it's probably, you know.
Yeah.
But you don't hear from the people that, it's like what I was saying with the Black Eyed Kids. Like, we don't really know what happens when they come in, but maybe it's because the people that let them in die and then they can't tell their story. So maybe the people that get killed by the hag,
they can't tell that story.
Because they did. So if it's not demons, please tell us, science, what causes sleep paralysis? The truth is no one really knows. There's no direct cause. So it can occur out of the blue. It can come out of nowhere. You can have sleep paralysis. You try to lucid dream and have sleep paralysis. But it's more so known as a symptom that is linked to something else, like a side effect, like sciatica, if you're familiar, the sciatic nerve. So it's a side effect. And so what is it commonly a side effect of?
I don't know.
I will tell you. One, insomnia.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yes. So I'm screwed. Two, disrupted sleep patterns. You know, whether you're changing jobs, you're getting a new working shift, jet lag, something like that. Three, narcolepsy, like rat race.
Right.
You know, the condition where you just suddenly fall asleep. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know.
Four, post-traumatic stress disorder. Five, general anxiety.
Oh, okay. Great.
Six, panic disorder. And this one is very interesting to me. And seven, a family history of sleep paralysis.
Oh, that's interesting.
Isn't it interesting?
That's heckin' interesting.
I actually hate the word interesting because I feel like it's so bland, but we just said it like four times.
I know.
When someone says something's interesting, it's like, oh, you don't want to think about it too much. But isn't it weird that genetics come into play here? That something
that's really
in
strange.
Your genes could you make you more susceptible to sleep paralysis?
It or feels more like a sensitive.
Yeah. If you know what? There you go. Look at you tying knots and stuff. You're like a Boy Scout over there. But it's like, what in your genes makes you more susceptible to waking up during REM? So naturally, you're hearing this, you're freaking out. You don't want to see the old hag. Even if she's not real, it's not a good time. So you're like, Tyler, Chalele, Mother Chucka, what can I do to prevent this from happening? Well, okay, let's back up. We still don't know what causes it. We just know what it is typically symptoms of. So naturally, just kind of reverse the side effects. So, you know, try to get 6 to 8 hours a day. Like I said, I didn't actually say of what. Try to get 6 to 8 hours of sleep a day. So again, I'm screwed.
Yeah.
Try to go to bed roughly around the same time each night and the same time in the morning. No, I'm not bad at that, but it's like, it's the rhythm, your circadian rhythm. You're trying not to disrupt your pattern.
Right.
Pretty much everything you read is like, try to find a bedtime, try to get, you know, like a routine of that. I think it's healthy for the body. I wouldn't know. It's actually ironic that I'm speaking on an episode of sleep in general.
It is. It's actually very funny.
Yes.
Like, you don't sleep. you don't sleep.
I don't. I don't. You should get regular exercise, but not 4 hours before going to bed. That's not how you get swole.
Feels like an arbitrary rule.
Yeah. If it's 3:50, you know, it's fine.
Yeah. Am I going to cramp and drown? Like, what?
Actually, I guess it would be more. It'd be like, you cramp, you're in a waterbed.
Oh, oh no.
I'm drowning. Man drowned in waterbed from cramp because he ate or he worked out 4 hours before going to bed. Also, don't eat a big meal beforehand, which I do try to adhere to. Kind of like that intermittent fasting thing.
I like to eat as much as possible before bed.
But
actually,
it's a gross feeling to wake up after sleep and feeling like you just ate. I hate that feeling.
I'm not opposed to it because I don't have to eat breakfast.
True, but I don't know. There's just something about it that I don't like. Limit stress, another thing I'm not good at. But if you're living a stress-free life, then you likely won't
see the
Who's
living a stress-free life? That's not even possible.
I was going to say people with a lot of money, but you know what they say? More money.
More problems.
Yep. And finally, do not sleep on your back.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, I also heard that's bad for like your neck, too.
Yeah.
Like, but it's really comfortable sometimes. I mean, it just is. But I would recommend not doing that. And also, I guess the very last thing is don't be related to people that are susceptible to sleep paralysis. Ooh. Start chopping up that family tree. But I did see one more interesting thing. It said that people that are daydreamers and those who dissociate from their environment are more likely to experience it,
which
makes sense. But being a daydreamer myself, it's kind of like, ooh.
That's so me, though.
Yeah.
Like, I do that up here sometimes.
I'm always dissociating. Okay.
Wait, can I say something really quick?
Yes.
One time I told Dr. Jim, our
chiropractor. Shout out our chiropractor.
Yeah, one time I told him I sleep in my stomach, and he was like, what's wrong with you?
He just punches you in the face. He just kicks your ass, pulls like a chair out, just smacks you. Don't do it again. Now let me crack your neck. I always feel like I'm going to die when I get my neck adjusted.
But I love it, though.
So before we get to the discussion, let me just reiterate this, because this is factual. Paranormal or not, sleep paralysis is scientifically tied to the inability to move, speak, or breathe properly, visual hallucinations, auditory hallucinations, olfactory hallucinations, or basically smells, a sense of heaviness and pressure on your chest, an intense feeling of being watched, touched, and often in a threatening manner, and just overall fear. So now, with that being said, let's go to the discussion. So how are you feeling about this? It's kind of like two things in one, but obviously they're hand in hand. Sleep paralysis and the old hag syndrome, which I still don't like saying old hag, but it is what it is. So I'm going to say it. You got to own that.
I feel, okay. First of all, I thought you were going to say, how am I feeling? Like, I'm feeling good right now. But like, here's the thing about the science. When something's so saturated in science that most of it's proven to be true, I feel like you have to give a lot of credibility to that. So for me, a lot of the old hag stuff can be linked to the science, and I find it harder to believe, and this is weird coming from me, but I find it harder to believe in the spiritual monster side.
I understand where you're coming from, but at the same time, they pretty much said they don't know the cause. Like, they're able to diagnose the experience, and they can tell you what you're likely to experience and, you know, how you're going to feel, but they still can't tell you why it happens.
But there are other things that they still can't pinpoint the causes of.
Well, I just mean specifically for this. I can't speak to everything, you know what I mean? But it's also kind of like, okay, when somebody's possessed, they can tell you scientifically what kind of things you're likely to experience. But if they can't explain why it happened, couldn't the paranormal fit the why? So science can accurately record and track the experience and the likelihood for something to occur. But if they can't fill in the why, is that where the paranormal comes into play? Which in this case would be the old hag. So science records you feel fear. You can't move. REM is real. You're out of REM. We don't know what brings you out of it, but you come out of it and you feel fear. And we'll say that there's hallucinations because science isn't going to say there's an old hag. So does the old hag, could these be, instead of saying old hag is real, sleep paralysis isn't, or sleep paralysis is real, old hag isn't, is there a chance that they could be work side by side as one true theory?
That's an interesting question. It almost makes it like have like a nice pairing.
Yeah.
Like a, you know, like a nice wine and I don't know.
Pork.
Pasta. Yeah, there you go.
I would rather have wine and pasta, but.
But yeah, that's, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. How do you feel about it? Like, how do you feel about
this? Let me talk about this. Let me talk about this aspect of it. Why the pressure? Now, okay, I can buy hallucinations. I can buy hallucinations. You're, you know, because you're already in a dazed state. You're already a little out of your mind. And, you know, if your body's in sleep mode and you're creating things and you see something in your room, that I get. I'm like, okay, I totally buy the hallucination. However, why is it that people who experience sleep paralysis feel like somebody is on their chest suffocating them and occasionally strangling them? And it's not like a one-off experience. A lot of people experience the suffocation of it. Like, what about, like, scientifically, what about your mind being awake during sleep makes you feel suffocation?
I wonder what would put that suffocation on there.
My only theory that I would guess is that it's how you are experiencing your body when you're not, it's like you're in a different physical state. Like your body, like you are feeling the atonia, like your muscles being silent, so to speak, because normally you don't feel that. It's kind of like you ever woke up and you slept on your arm and you literally can't move it and you pick it up and it's so heavy. Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
it's like that weird feeling where it's like you can feel, because right now you lift your arm up, you're like, oh, it doesn't feel that heavy. But when you sleep on it and you pick it up, that sensation, or like the prickliness of like losing, like there are sensations that you're not used to that you feel given the right circumstances. So maybe you being awake, because you're obviously anxious because, you know, you're seeing stuff, you can't move. So you're already going to have that fear. But maybe the feeling of suffocation is one, the anxiety you're feeling, but two, us not being used to the feeling of whatever our body does to us with the atonia, making our muscles not move. Now, I don't know that to be a fact. That's just a theory.
So do you think the old hag is real?
Man, I'm trying to like promote like
conversation.
And you're just like, is it real? Is it real? Is it real? I go unbelievable.
You go unbelievable?
Yeah, I'm playing devil's advocate.
Really?
Because you were going unbelievable, so.
Or you were
at least going the bottom of the spectrum.
I was at least thinking skeptical.
Yeah, no, I go unbelievable. Not that I think people can have paranormal things happen to them at night when they're sleeping. And, you know, the witching hour is something we lightly touched on. But, you know, I mean, there are, I don't think every experience somebody has at night, woken up, and maybe even paralyzed, is scientific. But I think in general.
It is weird to me that these old hags are so, like, across the board. That is strange to me.
Yeah, like every country. I mean, I know we didn't really talk about it, but yeah, most countries and cultures have their own version of what it is.
Which is interesting. But it's unusual because what is that called? When like multiple cultures have a similar story.
Yeah.
Even though there's no connection to them. And this is one of those stories.
True, but every human sleeps, or at least should. Yeah. So it would make sense scientifically that every culture would experience it too, because everybody sleeps.
If everyone experiences, well, you said 40% of the world,
mm-hmm.
which is so, yeah.
But you know what I mean? It's like just because a different culture has a different name for it, if you're sleeping and you wake up and you're paralyzed and you're having hallucinations, that would go across the board.
Yeah.
So it still justifies the scientific. Here would be the most terrifying thing for me. Like, obviously, if I woke up and I'm in sleep paralysis and I see something, yeah, that'd be scary. But there was one article I found, which I kind of slid in here when we were talking. If I was experiencing sleep paralysis and I was awake and conscious and I couldn't move and I couldn't open my eyes, I would literally feel like I was dead. Like, I would think I was dead.
Yeah.
That's what I used to think death was, is like, and I mean, I'm not saying I'm wrong because I don't know. Nobody really knows, but it's like, imagine death is just your mind is constantly on, but you just no longer, you know, you can't do anything. You're just constantly in your head thinking, you know?
Yeah.
But that would be the most terrifying aversion, I think. I mean, it would be terrifying to see an old hag, even if it's a hallucination, but being alert and unable to move or open your eyes, like, what do you think in that moment? You're like, oh, I listened to this one podcast where they're about sleep paralysis. You're like, am I dead?
Yeah.
That would be terrifying.
That would be very... Many of these scenarios are terrifying.
Indeed. So thank you so much for listening to this episode on... I'll say old hag syndrome / sleep paralysis.
Yeah, sure.
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
Somebody hit us up and said you should do this. And I was like, there's enough science in that. I like it. Every now and then I go down the little science path, which I don't feel bad because you do history like every week.
Damn.
No, it's been actually a little while since you did history.
Yeah, I don't think... you're right. It's been a couple... What was the last one? Roanoke?
No, you've talked about history since then.
I don't know. I black out.
Yeah. So we appreciate you listening. If you're enjoying the podcast and you want to let us know that you're enjoying the podcast and you listen on an Apple iPhone device, head over to our podcast and leave a review, either 5 stars, and say something like, you guys are great. You guys mispronounced this. You offended my entire family. Or you can just leave a 5-star review. You don't have to say anything.
That'd be great. And also, if you want to, we have some wonderful merch that was partially designed by yours truly, Tyler. And
very partially.
And some other very talented people. And that is for sale at believeinthebizarre.com.
Yep. Just go to shop merch, I think is what it's called.
Yep.
And also, I'll say this again, if you follow us on social media, you've seen this, but we played the conspiracy trivia game by Netty Games. It was a lot of fun. That video,
very cool.
I think by the time this episode comes out, the video will be out, but I don't know for sure yet. But it was a lot of fun. So go to the description in either last week's episode or this week's episode, and you can get 10% off if you use the code BTB10. It's fun. We would not be repping this game if it wasn't fun. We would say we were, but we weren't. But it was it was a lot of fun. Also, again, happy birthday, Alex. Also, happy Earth Day. I know we're a little bit behind. Anyways, thank you so much for listening. As always, I'm Tyler.
I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
A podcast as bizarre as you are.